This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Kyle Shanahan told you today that Purdy looks as good this year as last. Greg Cosell laughed, said Kyle didn't think that. He didn't think that he knows that's not true. Brock Purdy is not seeing it recently. Or, as I believe, I think he's seeing it, but he's not letting it rip. And what's the reason behind that? I don't know. My guess is there is a faith that has been lost in what is being created by the offensive line. And the reason I think that is because he's not just, quote, not throwing it downfield. He's also taking off. As Greg even said, sometimes too early. He's running so much more this year. So it just feels like there's something that's not simpatico there with regard to the trust between the quarterback and the offensive line. So, yeah, Greg got us going here a little bit on this.
And just looking at those three plays, and it's the third quarter drive he's talking about when they had to settle for a field goal, their opening drive. Second and 19, he scrambles. Third and 15, he checks it down. And when you look at the all 22, as they say, and you just pause it when he gets to the back foot, there's two guys open on each of those plays, and he doesn't look at those options. He gets back, looks one way, and thinks, I got to go. And maybe it is because of a lack of trust.
It feels like, again, I never know what was the plan as far as who to throw to,
right.
what with the progressions or all that. But Brock Purdy this year feels like he is locked on Kittle. It feels like since Christian got back, there's a little bit of lockage on Christian. And in games where he's been available, he's locked in also on Juwan. But there's a startling lack of targets to Deebo Samuel and when Brandon Ayuk was available. And in this last game, you know, I mean, this is just sort of recent to the party, but like I was surprised at only two targets to Ricky Pearsall.
Right.
So that means he's liking checkdowns and his big, huge targets that are also only about 10 to 12 yards down the field.
And yeah, that's why you look at their whole day, and they had, I think, one play that was an explosive more than 20 yards, which is, it's unacceptable for an offense this good and this versatile. Just looking at the pressure numbers, last year, 20.1% pressure rate, like how many dropbacks do you get pressured on? This year, it's only 21%. So the pressure...
Interesting.
The pressure numbers would not indicate that he's under any more duress. I do think that he's looking to flee more often. And when you're not standing in there, and like Greg said, his ability to anticipate and deliver the football, you know, he's anticipating the route and the coverages, and he was just letting it rip. And
that's what he was so good at.
Now he's holding it and, well, you know, trying to maybe be more safe.
Greg also said Trent Williams, still very good, but not as good as he had been. Like starting to see some drop off, which would make sense. The guy's 36 years old.
It's his anchor, Mark.
Yeah.
It's his anchor.
You want to take some calls?
Let's do it.
All right, how about this? This is fun. So those of you who don't know how it works when we're doing this, we've got a list of the callers that are right here in front of us, and Director of Sports Lucas Alexander gives a quick little blurb on what the caller wants to talk about.
He does a great job with that.
Well, right, except for we're only going to take calls on what we're sort of talking about.
Right.
So it's all of this Shanahan Purdy stuff, but there'll be a quick blurb on kind of what the caller wants to say. So I'm going to give you three blurbs.
Okay.
And you tell me which blurb do you want to go to first.
I get to pick the blurb?
Yeah, pick a blurb.
Grandy, right. If you weren't eating, I was going to ask for game show music.
No. Yeah, you have your dinner. All right. So one of them is Purdy.
I'm going to eat it.
Thank you. Purdy / Shanahan.
Okay.
That's a blurb.
Generic, but on topic.
The next one is stop talking about Purdy and Shanahan.
Would love to hear why.
Don't tell us what to talk about.
Okay.
We host a radio show. And then lastly, Shanahan is a psycho.
Now that one, that's pretty attractive.
Possibly.
Okay. All right, your call.
I've got psycho.
Shanahan is a psycho.
Yeah.
Purdy / Shanahan.
Very mainstream. It's a safe call.
Or stop talking about Purdy / Shanahan.
If I could pick the order, I'd go psycho, stop talking, and then I feel like the middle caller is going to be more reasonable.
Okay, West Oakland Sam, you are first up here on Willie and Dibby. Hi, Sam.
Hey, guys.
Right.
Hey, Shanahan is a psycho.
Yeah! Hey, let's talk about Purdy.
Hey, but let's talk about Purdy first, because what I'm noticing is Purdy does have a – he is – so mind you, I was watching the 49er game, but I also had to keep an eye on my 2-year-old son who was using the hardwood floor as a coloring book.
Oh, boy.
So,
those crayons.
My God, I know.
Hey,
I mean
– Hey, he took one – he was like, give me a new color, Daddy, every time. And I was like, okay, we're running out of crayons here. But so what happened was, whenever I was able to watch, I saw Purdy drop back, and he immediately went to a run, which means what subconsciously I think, I've never been a quarterback, but I played football, and I played O-line, pulling right guard, 63 slot counter, call me.
Hey.
Subconsciously, what happens is because he's nervous about the O-line, he just run. And those little legs do great, but it's like you're starting to see him subconsciously think about it, about running first now, because he's hesitant with the O-line. Now, while Kyle Shanahan, I think, is a psycho, is I really want to run it back, because Stanyan Guru talked about him having the play is already embedded to read coverages where he doesn't have to audible.
Right.
If that's true, when in the history of football has a quarterback never had to audible? I've never heard of a play having a built-in audible thing, which makes him like, dude, do you not give your quarterback any type of control?
Because we're not going to hang up on you. Stay right there. I want to jump in on this because this has been a big buzz topic the last 3 weeks.
Right.
And let me promise you, that if that psycho Shanahan is listening right now, his blood is boiling listening to you say this. Because a number of reporters have continually tried to kind of pick at Kyle about this idea. Why won't you let him audible? Are you saying that he's not good? Do you not trust him? Why won't you let him do it? Come on, Kyle. Why don't you let him do it? Kyle's answer will be, the question is sort of flawed. And what he means by that is, A, he says, not me, he says a lot of NFL teams, most of them, in fact, at this point are doing it this way to lessen the load on the quarterback. Not because they don't trust him, but why not hit the easy button when you can and make things a little bit easier? And B, Sam, it's not about the audible being baked in. It's more simply, hey, if the defense does X, you do Y. And if the defense does Y, you do X. So it's not an audible as much as a snap decision based on what you're seeing and reading the defense. Again, just passing along what that psycho Shanahan would say to you if he were here, Sam.
Okay. And doesn't that literally sound psycho? Because name me a team that he's... Okay, if you're telling me 10 teams are doing this, name the 10 teams that are doing it, because the best teams in the league are not doing this. Mahomes has complete control. Burrow, the whole point of calling an audible is to read and react to what you're seeing on defense. So all that making it easy for my quarterback, I've never heard of that before.
Okay.
Every play comes with two different options. So if you come up against a nine-man box and it's supposed to be a run, he has the ability to change it to a pass play without completely altering the formation.
Right. And Sam, can I throw in one more thing when you say who else is doing that? You know all three of these really fancy good teams in the NFC North that we're all looking up at? You know those three?
Yes, sir.
They're all doing it. I promise you.
I promise you.
First of all, you're telling me Jared Goff. Yes, that's exactly what I'm telling you, and I'm definitely telling you that Jordan Love, who's under LaFleur, who is a Shanahan disciple, this weekend, I promise you. Now, what aggressiveness you have within that is the decision that the quarterback is making on the fly. And these two quarterbacks this weekend are fascinating because Jordan Love is among the most aggressive quarterbacks in the league, is really pushing it downfield. It's also why he has 11 interceptions in only 8 games. And Brock Purdy, who I think was doing that at the beginning of the year, is now suddenly not. And, I mean, you could do with that what you will.
So Willis, so I guess we get to see a battle of the psycho coaches this weekend.
There we go. Psycho 1 and Psycho 2, let's play ball, Lambeau Field.
More and more offenses do it that way. And
thanks,
also
Sam.
The idea of the RPO, since that has taken full form in the NFL, those are ostensibly audibles, but the quarterback is doing it in real time. It's an RPO based on you get the snap and what happens, the reaction. It's a zone read, or it's a pull and throw, or all the different things you can do off it. So that inherently is an audible in and of itself.
Well, and let me just rip this off real quick, and then we're going to keep going with the phones. But I don't even know, by the way, that that's true when he goes, well, Mahomes and Burrow aren't doing that. I don't even know. I don't cover the Chiefs or the Bengals. I'd have to talk to Andy Reid to find out exactly how they do that.
And everything is different now in terms of like the check with me's and all that. And you see teams going to their helmet.
For sure.
That's basically inaudible, but it's just a play that's already called.
This might anger people, but here's what I would say about that. If your point is that Brock is not Patrick, Josh, or Lamar, you win. You're right. Who's saying that? The Niners don't have one of those dudes. 29 teams don't have one of those dudes. And you got to figure out a way to work around that. You are not starting in the same spot as the Ravens, Chiefs, and Bills. You aren't. It doesn't mean you can't beat them. It happens. You have a lot of things that they don't have. A lot of teams are like, I'd love to have Christian McCaffrey out of the backfield. We don't have that guy. The Chiefs have an overweight guy off the couch in the backfield right now. So I just want to get that out there, because if what you're trying to do is say, man, the Niners need to get a Mahomes. Right. You're right. And they don't have one. He's not that. And that doesn't mean, by the way, that now he only gets $30 million a year or whatever. You know, Dak is not that. Trevor Lawrence is not that. Jared Goff is not that. Jordan Love is not that. And they're all making well north of $50 million a year. He's a very good quarterback. He's not one of the top three or four guys in the league.
No, and even those top three or four guys, you'd have to go through every system to see what their rules are about changing plays. And the majority of it is now where there's another play automatically called that you can default to. And as a quarterback, you don't want to have to worry about, you know, what my personnel is and what play I want to audible to. Everything is automatic where you have this play, and if it isn't something that you want to go to, then you can change out of it and try something else. And that's how a lot of this is anyway now, with all the quick throwing and the motion. You can't go to a fully, completely different play if you had two or three things already set in motion.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm completely with you. Like, I'm not going to just build a sudden flaw into a system that has largely been working. And now, you know, we've obviously hit a little downstretch. I'm more interested in finding out what's causing that. And let's see if the Niners can get out of that. All right, your second choice was stop talking Purdy and Shanahan.
Yeah, because honestly, I've had it myself.
You have?
I'm with line three already, I can tell you that.
Oh, Clyde and Half Moon Bay. It sounds like you and Dibs are about to have a conversation about Tyler Fitzgerald at second base for the Giants. Go ahead.
Sounds great. Let me ask you something, Mr. Dibs.
Yo.
With all this audible talk with the previous caller, if the line doesn't block, does it matter if an audible was called or not?
If it's a screen you audible to, then yeah, please don't block. Huh? See what I did there?
Yeah, but at the same time, they got to go down the field and block the secondary to make that screen pop.
Yep, there still is a block. You're right. Point to the caller.
And my transition to why we should stop talking about Purdy and all this stuff is because there's a big cloud over this team that hasn't been addressed.
What is it?
John Lynch is hiding behind his only solid offensive lineman move of Trent Williams and his only solid defensive line of Nick Bosa. He let Buckner walk out the door. He let Armstead walk out the floor. Now, one of my favorite Super Bowls of all time, I believe it was 1990 or 91, Bills Giants. How did the Giants win that? They had superior offensive line, superior defensive line. That's how you win Super Bowls.
Okay. I'm not going to agree with your overall concept. I'm not going to disagree with your overall concept, but Clyde, have you watched Eric Armstead play this year for the Jags?
Not a ton.
It doesn't matter, dude.
No, it does.
He needed Buckner. Buckner was the big mistake. Well, Armstead was the little one.
Like, I'm not gonna argue with you about Buckner being a mistake, but how many years back are we going to go? They've been to two Super Bowls. They went to the Super Bowl last year without Buckner. The Buckner for Javon Kinlaw thing was a mistake. Of course. And teams make mistakes. I mean, Trey Lance, good Lord, what an absolute disaster. But I don't think that I'm going to take the Buckner move. And by the way, there are finances involved in that still aren't fair because we go Buckner, Kinlaw. And again, if you keep Buckner, there's actually a bunch of other people, Armstead included, by the way, who wouldn't be on the team going all the way back to then. So I can agree with you that it's a mistake, but I'm going to stop short, Clyde, of this idea that John Lynch is hiding behind things.
Well, this is the point I think is just that they haven't drafted it very well. You know, you go back and...
Well, they drafted Nick Bosa.
Offensive line, I think, is the bigger issue.
Oh, well, he was talking about
both lines, I think. Like, okay. You win in the trenches, you have to be able to block, and
drafted Dominic Pooney.
Which is good. And Aaron Banks, they drafted. He's been good.
He's been good.
Other than that, you know, the McGlinchey and the McKivitz, those guys are just okay.
You're going to miss sometimes.
But it doesn't matter, dude.
Yeah, thank you. I thought that was live, but that's perfect.
Well, he is. He's still on the line. Clyde, do you have more to say?
Every year, the right side of the line has been a question mark.
Yeah.
Every year, the defensive line has been missing a solid interior position. You don't let generational talent in the middle walk.
I'm sorry, Armstead, Clyde.
They did a good job because they had good defensive ends.
Clyde,
they weren't the anchor of the defensive line.
Clyde, their defensive line's been freaking amazeballs for a number of years. They keep going to the end in many ways because of the defensive line. I can, again, agree with you. By the way, the Armstead thing was not a mistake. One sack this year. But I can agree with you on the Buckner thing without stripping down the recent history of the Niners' defensive line. It's been one of the best in the league every year.
Dude, since Buckner left, the guards on the inside have not been the anchor of your defensive line. That has to be your anchor, not your end. Been focusing on the outside and not the inside.
I mean, you love Armstead. Yeah. He was the anchor they chose instead of Buckner. DJ Jones, I thought, was a very good player.
Yeah.
I wish that they hadn't let him go.
But they don't have it
Clyde,
now. And
Clyde,
that,
thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, they haven't really had it now. And
for sure.
That's been a big issue.
And the Hargrave signing has so far been a mess.
Right. So that, I think, is what he was looking at as far as things to address. The right side of the line better this year with Pooney, but... In general, the right side hasn't been good, and if Greg Cosell is right about Trent Williams and Father Time, and I was thinking about the fact that he lined up a yard in the backfield, maybe as a way to kind of get that extra edge, because, you know, when you're 36 playing that position where it's zero tolerance, you're not allowed to make a mistake. It's like being a closer, right? You're not allowed to blow a save.
Ever.
And if you're the left tackle, you're not allowed to let your quarterback get hit.
Correct. Well, okay, and here's what, for those of you just joining us, Greg Cosell, NFL Films, this is what he said about Trent Williams.
I don't think the O-line played particularly well in this game. I thought there were a number of poor snaps by the center, by the left guard Banks. I'm just wondering if Father Time has caught up to Trent Williams a little bit. I don't know if he's playing at the same consistent elite level that has defined his career. And he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, as he should be. But I spoke with someone else, you know, from the league who watches a ton of tape and kind of agreed that it just might be the beginning of Father Time catching up with him.
Okay, and then I asked him to expand on specifically on tape. What is he seeing on tape of Trent Williams that makes them think that?
Well, I think in pass pro, he's not been quite as powerful with his anchor. There are a couple times he just gets not beat, you know, not where you go, oh my God, he's just getting beat, but where he's just getting pushed back a little bit too much into the pocket, which never, you know, would happen. I think even in the run game, there's been a couple of times where, you know, he just didn't quite make the block with, you know, kind of the definition that we've come to expect. Just little things. Like I said, it's not like you watch him and go, oh my God, this guy can't play. It's just, you know, little things that start to show.
888-957-9570. Dan in the city. Hi, Dan. Thanks for calling.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up?
I want to talk about Shanahan and Brock a little bit while I'm driving through this monster storm in the city.
Woo.
Yeah, man.
It's coming down, huh? We're about to get out in that thing.
Good luck, guys.
Yeah, thanks.
Good luck. So I just wanted to reel it back in a little bit and try to bring it back to earth as far as the Niners. I feel like we're discussing a million different things and trying to get in the head of Brock, get in the head of Shanahan, and as we all know, it's an impossible task. At the end of the day, the success that Shanahan's had over the last few years is unprecedented. I would say Kansas City is probably the closest or the next best thing to the 49ers, and the city and the Bay Area in general and all the 49ers fans in general should be happy of all the success that we've had. Are they having a down year? Kinda. But like Willard said, it's a few plays here and there. The ball goes here, the ball goes there, and it's a different story. It just so happens that this year the ball's going the other way. Purdy's not making a lot of plays like he was. Why? Who knows? It could be the offensive line. It could be Shanahan's play calling. But for whatever reason, it is what it is. Can they make it out of it? I think they can. I think they can. It's going to come down to Brock at the end of the day, though.
Dan, yeah, good luck with the drive. Yep, appreciate it.
Be safe out there.
Yeah, I think
atmospheric river underway.
Yeah, here we go. This is what I think he's kind of getting at, and I think he has a point. Because you're hearing, by the way, if you're part of the 49er fan base, and you may not even know this, because hopefully in your life you're like all wrapped up in your family and your friends and your job, not social media, but 49er fans are under attack. You are being called selfish. You are being called entitled.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Titled, you are being called a group that doesn't know how good they have it. And I think the reason that the rest of the world feels that way about us is because we're not only focused on the record of the team, we want style points. That is one thing, that is a characteristic that I will hang around 49er fans, and whether you think that that's good or bad, I'll leave that up to you.
Well, style points would matter if you were 8-2. We could talk about style points, well, but you're 5-5, for me, there are no style points.
Well, but I would argue that when you're 8-2 is when style points don't matter.
When you can talk about it and say, like last year, 5-0, and you scored, I think, 140 right. or 150-something points through five, and you had a plus-minus point differential of 100, I think, after
right.
five games.
And we wanted a Purdy 30. So in other words, if you won a game, if you grinded one out one week, 20-13,
yep.
we were like, what the hell is wrong with that? No. We need 30. We might even need 35. If you look at Kansas City Chiefs football, you made this reference earlier. Watch them this year. You know this. They don't look good.
No.
But they're 9-1.
Yeah.
And nobody cares that their style points aren't quite measuring up. They're not blowing people out. Patrick Mahomes, hell, you think Brock Purdy looks off. Go look at Patrick's numbers. He's literally, in terms of stats, he's bottom third of the entire league in terms of numbers. But we all know damn well better than that because he makes big plays in big moments, and he's Patrick, and he's got presence, and he's a winner.
Yeah.
Right? So,
and
like,
they're number four in fourth quarter scoring in the NFL.
Like the Niners, we do. We've seen this. We watched it. How many calls did we take after they beat Tampa Bay? And people were like, amazing. Nobody. It was like, damn it.
It got a little closer than it should have.
Yes, but they won.
Right.
And that's not always good enough for us in this era. I don't mean to say this
The bar is set higher than 5-5, and you got to gut out Tampa Bay.
I think the bar is set even higher than 6-4 or 7-3.
No, it is, but
the
even...
The bar is set, like, look awesome. Look amazing every week. Dominate the opponent.
Well, the bar is getting lowered because you can't win in your division.
Well, now you're an underdog. Of course, the bar is getting lowered.
And you lose to Seattle, and you're 1-3 in the division, and two of them were just giveaways. And then this last one was very winnable, but you just couldn't do it. So the bar is getting lowered. And I think that more people are, or fewer people are looking for style points than those are who are giving up. Well, and if you're part of the faithful, think about what the 49er faithful is just as a defined term. That means you're going to stick with them through thick and thin. So if you consider yourself in the faithful and you're ready to wave the white flag at 5-5, and I've seen people on Twitter and elsewhere use the T word, tank. You want them to tank at 5-5. And, you know, people out there who maybe want to tackle, the best tackles are going to go in the top 10. So, you know, that's what some people are looking at already.
Let's get a look at the young guys.
Yep.
Come on, people.
They need to draft a tackle, Mark, a right tackle.
Come on. You could be tied for first place in 4 days.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Actually, I don't know if that's... Is that true? Yeah, they could be. They could be in a three-way tie.
Doesn't Arizona play
Seattle this weekend?
They sure do.
Yeah, if Seattle wins and the Rams win Sunday night against Philadelphia and the Niners win, the whole damn division is 6-5. All of them. They got a really hard game this weekend. But... They're allowed to win it.
They are.
They're allowed to win it.
Yeah, take Arizona and the money line in that one on the road.
Really?